busy with some things. And so... So anyway, we're going to get things started with There's Power in the Blood. Would second verse. Talk around here in Powder Springs and Hiram, isn't it? It's not power, it's power. And so good to see everybody tonight. Can y'all hear me okay? All right. Well, it's good to be here this evening. And this is the Wednesday before Jubilee. And so I'm so excited I can stand on my head. And been planning this, stand on my head and then spin. But anyway... been planning this for some time now. Just so excited about the things that have gotten done physically here at the church. Last year, the church wasn't painted, and you know we had all the other shrubbery and things out front. And so this year, the church is painted, all new shrubs, and as soon as the spring comes fully, we'll have flowers. But got brand new carpet out on all three porches, different color with that. TVs, brand new floor in the kitchen. So the only thing left to do is just pile everybody in here and worship the Lord. And so we are so excited about that. I really mean I'm excited. I don't know if you're picking that up or not. I've had trouble sleeping this week. I've been so excited. And we were down here Monday with Mark McGuirk, our yard guy, and wasn't trying to supervise, but just having a good time with him, and the carpet man came out, and then today running errands, doing things, and so we're just very excited. And as far as Jubilee itself, Brother Snyder will be preaching on Sunday morning, so we're excited about that, Brother Snyder preaching. And I spoke with Brother David Smith today. He called me out of nowhere, kind of surprised me. He looked at my phone and it was David Smith. And so he has two men bringing him this year. And they're going to turn around and go home. They normally stay the night, and Brother David does. But they're going back home. And so he wanted to know, was there a place that he could change clothes out of that old hot suit whenever he got through preaching before he headed home? And... So we worked that out with him, but just so excited about Jubilee this year. this Sunday, 10:30 a.m. And so I really look forward to seeing a pretty full house every service. Again, we have this Jubilee, we have two new churches attending, Welcome Hill and Gateway. And just, it's going to be a wonderful time. And so please come as much as you can. All right, let's jump into some prayer requests and updates. Brother Bobby McClendon, he had his heart catheterization. I put a post out on our church Facebook page, but for those who have not heard, he had that done on Monday and had wonderful results on that. They did the heart cath, but no stents were required. They just needed to put them on some medication. And so we praise the Lord for that. Miss Nancy said that out of all the heart stents he's had seven or eight of them heart catheterizations. Every time there's been a heart stent, but this time. And both of them have said that it was because of the prayer we had Sunday night with them down front. And so we believe that. We love emphasizing prayer around here. We just know that there is power in prayer, and so we're going to continue to pray every opportunity we get as long as I'm here, and so we praise the Lord for that. He's at home resting tonight, so Bobby and Nancy, we love you, and looking forward to seeing you on Jubilee Sunday, and praise the Lord with you. All right, let's also remember Miss Claudia, that's at home. Bless her heart. She's trying to get better. She's trying to get well enough to make it to Jubilee, but the doctor has strict orders about being around others, her immunity being low. So let's pray that the Lord will just touch her so she can come at least one night. Maybe the doctors, maybe she'll rebound speedily this week and the doctors will allow her to come. But the beauty is, it's going to be on Facebook. So those can watch and listen. Let's remember Miss Claudia in our prayers. Let's remember our children's home. Everybody's back from the ski trip and here tonight. And so that's great. No broken bones. All is well. All right. Let's remember Miss Marianne Sanvey, the 22nd of this month. We are now in March. Remember her other knee, replacement coming up. And let's remember Miss Helen Bennett as she continues to recover. Brother Larry's mom, Trell, from her surgery, hernia surgery. Trell Norton, his sister's heart complications. James and Shirley Townsend, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Harold Dolph, Don and Carla Rich. Again, Bobby and Nancy McClendon in his recovery, but also the daughter Kelly, which actually this marks a year since her son-in-law has passed away. Their son-in-law has passed away, Greg, Kelly's husband, Bobby Nancy's daughter. So let's remember them during this time. Richard Martin, Shauna Bendy, Michael Bendy, Randy and Diane Ely, the Daly's, the Ashworths, the Watkins, Melissa Slagle, all of those who are shut in, the Clantons, Barbara Anderson, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, and then those serving in the military, James Tolan Brown, the Marines, Peyton Cochran, the Navy, Kevin Brook. Of course, he's in Bible College, Christian College, Champion Christian College. All right. Maybe someone has an update, a prayer request, a praise, something you want to mention tonight. Anybody from the floor? Feels like there's stuff I'm missing. Go ahead, Brother Jim.
Yeah, my sister-in-law, there, she had CAT scan done. She's been having heart issues, and they're not getting back with her yet on what they're going to do. I guess the doctors are still in consultation.
Yes.
As to how they want to approach it as far as surgery or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're kind of in limbo right now, and it's kind of pretty tense for them right now. So just ask that that they would, the doctors would, you know, get together soon and be able to, you know, guide them in the direction they need to be going. Of course, we know God can work with the doctors or in spite of them.
Yeah, true,
and,
very true.
So we just ask for God to be with them.
Amen.
Throughout, continue to be with them throughout this ordeal.
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. Let's remember this. Anybody else? Really? Jeez.
Also, the truckers are going on strike for a week starting tomorrow.
We sure will. Remember Peru. Anyone else? All right. Well, again, just remember this Sunday, no Sunday school. It's 10:30 service, and then 5 p.m., and then each night at 6:45, of course, you belonging to Calvary, dinner starts at 5. And so please come and eat. We have a nice week lined up of food. So remember that as well. All right, well, let's have a time of prayer together, and then we'll turn it over to Brother Jeff for him to share what's on his heart and mind tonight. I asked Brother Jeff last week if he'd cover for me tonight. I was planning on being here just this last week before Jubilee. I wanted to be able to be here and there and everywhere all week long. And I really enjoyed this week. Thank you for taking the pulpit tonight, brother. All right. Well, all that would, meet us in the altar. And let's have a time of prayer together. Right quick, not trying to be a motor mouth or anything, but there's two things I want to mention I was thinking about when I got down to pray. Coming in April, I wanted you to be excited, something to look forward to. I'm not going to reveal it yet, but we do have something. We're going to do a little different at Calvary on Sunday nights, starting after Easter. And so we will reveal that after Jubilee, and something to look forward to that I think will boost the morale for Sunday nights and also may have more people come in. And so it'll be for a limited time to see how it goes. So look forward to that. And the other thing is after Jubilee, we're going to get ready for Easter. And the very last thing I wanted to say, Christy is celebrating 22 years at Print Pack today. And so I wanted to mention that publicly. All right. Brother Jeff.
All right. I'm going to be speaking with you on the I Am Sayings of Jesus. and I'll go through them, and then I'll go back and do a little more detail on each one of them. I know you've all heard these, especially the group here in the church tonight. I know you've heard them and taught them, some of you. So the first one is, I am the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the light of the world, John 8:12. I am the door of the sheep, John 10:7. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. I am the vine, John 15:4. And I'm going to do it a little different than the way I prepared it. I kept thinking about this, and I believe this is the way the Lord would have me to do it. I want to start with the last one first. I am the vine. And I'll just read the two verses that go with that. John 15:4-5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. This is the last phrase. For without me, ye can do nothing. And as we're coming up on the Jubilee, which is, those of you out in phone land, it's a revival. Okay, you're familiar with that. So we have, you know, preachers and singers and what have you. But going into this, if we're doing this in our own flesh, then it's not going to work. Amen. And this really is the key for the whole thing tonight, is for without me you can do nothing. And then I'm going to go on back, start back with the first one. I am the bread of life, John 6:35. And John starts off here right after the feeding of the 5,000. And the Jews saw that, and they traveled, did some traveling to keep up with him. And they came to him. And then and he says in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And then when he says shall never thirst, this is, of course, I think immediately of the woman at the well in John 4:13-14, where he says that I am the living water. If you drink of me, you will never thirst. Of course, this was spiritual. I'm going to back up a little bit and say that just before he said this, got into this, I am the bread of life, the Pharisees were giving him a hard time as usual, and they were asking him to give them signs and what have you to prove himself to them. And they brought up the subject of the manna, that Moses did send you manna in heaven, and he corrected them, said, no, God gave you the manna of heaven. And then he immediately refers to himself and says that I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall have never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So this is his answer for that sign concerning the manna, is that I am that living bread that God has provided here. 51 kind of emphasizes that. In verse 51 says, I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, and I give for the life of the world. This statement is basically the essence of John 3:16, when God said, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so that he was sent, just as the manna was sent to feed the children of Israel, he was sent down from heaven to feed us spiritually. And as I mentioned in the vine, we can do nothing without him. And we feed on him by staying in the Word, listening to God's men, daily prayer, and then just commitment every day with him. Sometimes it's real easy to get distracted. I know you've heard the term feeding on the world, or, you know, feeding on the things that the media and all of these things that are out there, and it's just constantly bombarded. And I think we have to remind ourselves that we need to feed on God, on his word, and be ever mindful of what Jesus did for us on the cross, that he subjected his body to all of the abuse, the beatings, the whippings that he experienced even before he went to the cross. And then, of course, and the blood that was shed. He shed a lot of blood even before he went to the cross. And then on top of that, he had to endure the cross. So that's, this is a kind of a strange saying for people that aren't, doesn't have any kind of a church or spiritual background of any kind. When Jesus says you must eat on my flesh, well, it's again, we're talking about the spiritual feeding. We feed on his flesh by first coming to him in faith, accepting and trusting in him and in the sacrifice that he made when he did give his body and his blood for our sins. All right, so the next one is going to be, I am the light of the world, John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I'm going to read real quickly just some verses, starting with the fourth verse. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now verse 19 is key on this. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds be made may be made manifest that they are wrought or accepted in God. So, when confronted with the gospel, a lot of people will sometimes procrastinate, put it off. And I believe, according to the word here, the big reason they do that, they don't want their life to change. They're quite happy where they are, with what they're doing, with the lifestyle they have. And they don't want to come to the light. They want to stay in darkness, unfortunately. And if there's anyone like that in the telephone, the Facebook audience tonight, I just pray that you will, that the Holy Spirit will convict you of your lost condition and of your need for the Savior. Okay, the next one up is, I am the door of the sheep, John 10:7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And then I'm going to read these verses 1 through 10. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that cometh not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things that were which he spoke unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And then the next one follows right on the heels of this. Is the I am the good shepherd in verse 11. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling flee because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. All right, and I have a reference here in Matthew 18:12-13 is the parable of the 99 and the lost sheep. And it is recorded, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. So Jesus is the good shepherd to the extent that he did give his life for the sheep. And kind of a sort of a twist on words and what have you, situation, he is He is a sheep himself. He is the sacrificial lamb that was, and it, the pattern that we have for that even before he came was with the, when the death angel passed over the children of Israel, and they were instructed to paint the blood of the sacrificial sheep, which was to be a perfect, without spot or blemish, firstborn. And they were to take this blood and spread it over the doorpost and the lintels of the door. When the death angel came over, he would pass over, and that's why this is, and this was called the Passover. And so this was a foretelling, a type or shadow, if you will, of what Christ would do as far as him being the sacrificial lamb and sacrificing himself and shedding his blood for us. When John was preaching and Jesus came on the scene, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You can't get much plainer than that. And so again, I trust that anyone out there who has never put their faith and trust in Jesus, they would do that and let him be the shepherd of your soul. All right, next up is, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 11:25. And I'll read a few. "Jesus said unto her," this is Martha, this is at the time of just before the raising of Lazarus from the dead, was the event that was going on here. And he's speaking with Martha. This was Lazarus, the sister of Lazarus. "And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And then after he's talked with her and he instructs, he goes to the tomb and he raises Lazarus from the dead, proving that he truly is a resurrection and the life by raising someone from the dead. That's a pretty good proof. And now, the resurrection is absolutely vital. If it wasn't for the resurrection, Paul says that our religion would be vain. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15:16 through 20, "And if Christ be not," start in 17, "and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Okay, and I think that's pretty self-explanatory. And the next one is, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14:6. "Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." A little bit of a testimony with this one. When I was in college, I had a very good friend who was a Muslim. We had several conversations, and I was beginning to listen to him. And he talked about how that they believed that Jesus was a good prophet and a good man and all of these things, but they did not accept him as the Son of God. And on the conversation went. And as time went on, I was just faced with with a claim. Excuse me. I was faced with a claim that Jesus made of himself. If he was not what he said to be, he was not a good man. He was a false prophet. And there was just no way around that. That verse just kept, you know, just kept pounding constantly. And I know it was the Holy Spirit. Just, and he'll do that. He'll be with you from the time you accept him as your Savior from then on. You'll have moments like this. And whenever you're hearing teachings or anything like that, I don't care how good friends they are, how good they are, all these, Muhammad, his name's Muhammad Nabavi. He was a fun guy to be with. He was friendly, courteous, and we were just really very good friends. And but doesn't matter. The Word of God is the Word of God. And I just couldn't get past John 14:6. And I did the last verse. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. So I did that on the vine. But again, the emphasis here is, for without me, ye can do nothing. And I think that's what the spirit we need to have as we're going into Jubilee, is that all of our efforts and everything are vain if they're not led and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Did you have some things you wanted to say?
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Outstanding job, brother. I tell you what, that was some amazing things there. I appreciate that lesson, Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff will feed you from the Bible if you listen. And just to encourage even more, brother, someone was bragging on you, and I was already thinking about having you teach on a Wednesday night, but someone was bragging on you, said, hey, you ought to have Brother Jeff sometime. Boy, he'll open that book. And so we appreciate that so much. And you mentioned a friend named Muhammad, and talking about Muslims and all. I remember my time at Georgia Tech. You've heard me tell the story before, I think, but I was a GSM. That's big time. That's a guest services manager. And the only problem with that is there was about four or five of us, and I wasn't the only one. And to say I'm the manager. But anyway, we on the third floor was the ballroom, and we would set up just about every day for an event. And on that third floor, at a certain time of day, you would see these Muslim. Where are they from? Are they? I don't know. Yeah, Iranians. Yeah. Anyway, you know, same skin color and hair color. They would go into the restroom, and several times I was in there, and they would put their feet in the sink. And wash their feet and put them back in. They all had these little foam flip-flops. I guess their teacher sold them for this purpose. And you just hear them squeaking going down the hallway. Squeak, 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 squeak. And they all went to their prayer corner on the side of the ballroom, beside the bathroom. And they would bow toward Mecca and they would pray. And I remember, not long before that, someone had given me some Muslim gospel tracts. And so I walked over there one day, right when they're all in the bathroom washing their feet, I got one, and it was like totally exposing what they really believe and death by sword. And it had a picture of a dad dragging one of the kids to the house by the hair because they said they were trusting in Jesus. And I threw that thing right in the middle of their prayer corner, and it helicoptered all the way down. And then I went in the ballroom, put my ear against the door, listened. And, oh, I stirred up a mess. They were talking and just upset. And but anyway, that was my experience. And I had a couple Muslim friends as well. Very nice, just going back and forth, different things about their beliefs versus what we believe according to the Bible about Jesus. The other thing I wanted to say that jumped out to me, Brother Jeff, you know, without the Lord, we can't do anything. And that's what the Bible says in John 15. And I like the illustration of the glove. If I had a glove tonight, just picture in your mind a glove, an empty work glove. And you lay it right there on the pulpit. It is totally lifeless by itself. If you pick it up and put your hand in that glove can do anything that hand wants it to do. And I was thinking about that when you were teaching tonight, that the Lord can do anything he wants us to do. All we have to do is present our bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, here we are, totally lifeless at your disposal. And so thank you for that tonight. I've got several thoughts off of that. And I appreciate you, brother, all that you do, you and Miss Sherry, for our church. Anybody have anything else before we dismiss? All right. Well, thank you for coming faithfully each and every Wednesday night. Thank you all for watching on Facebook. And Lord willing, we'll see you bright and early on Jubilee morning, 10:30, ready to worship. All right, let's be dismissing a word of prayer. Father God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Jeff and Miss Sharon, Lord, what they mean to this church. God, what a blessing it is to see when Brother Jeff gets emotional speaking about you, Lord, and he's not ashamed or embarrassed to show that. I'm an emotional man as well, but especially being touched by you and your words. Lord, I thank you for him and how genuine he is, and Miss Sharon, Lord, their marriage, their lives. Pray that you bless them, Lord, in a special way. God, for just being who they are and being who you are. We pray tonight for all those on our prayer list. You know who needs what. We thank you for touching those you've touched this week. I pray that you prepare us all for worship on Sunday morning. God, help us to just relax ourselves in you and do what you want to do with us. We pray for a wonderful week. I pray that we would be revived, these that who are already saved. But then I pray that you would save souls, those who don't know you. All these things we ask in Jesus' name, with thanksgiving in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right.